and welcome to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm George Douglas. I'll be reading the program notes for all of the classical musical series concerts by the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2020 season. The program notes I'm reading today are for concerts by the North Carolina Symphony at 8 p.m. Friday and Saturday, March 13th and 14th at Maymandy Concert Hall, Duke Energy Center for the Performing Arts in Raleigh. This performance will be conducted by musical director Grant Llewellyn. The guest soloist will be pianist Jean-Yves Thibaudet. The program on this performance will include the following. The North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform the Roman Carnival Overture, Opus 9, by Hector Berlioz. And that will be followed by music by Maurice Ravel, the Piano Concerto in G Major, featuring the guest soloist. And that will be followed by another performance with the soloist, George Gershwin's I Got Rhythm Variations. Then, following the intermission, the symphony returns to the stage to perform the Suite No. 2 from Bacchus and Ariadne by Albert Roussel, and the finale, An American in Paris, by George Gershwin. Now I'll begin our reading of symphony notes. First, some information about the guest soloist. For more than three decades, Jean-Yves Thibaudet has performed worldwide and recorded more than 50 albums. He plays a range of solo, chamber, and orchestral works. From the very start of his career, he has delighted in music beyond the standard repertoire, from jazz to opera, even transcribing arias to play on the piano. As the St. Louis Symphony's artist-in-residence, Thibaudet opened the 2019-2020 season with concerts conducted by long-term friend and collaborator Stéphane Deneuve. He also tours with Midori this season. Thibaudet opened the North Carolina Symphony's 2015-16 season with Gershwin's Piano Concerto in F Major, which he performs this season in his hometown of Lyon as artist-in-residence of the Orchestre National de Lyon, as well as with various other orchestras around the world. Thibaudet was soloist in Dario Marinelli's scores for the films Atonement, which won an Oscar for Best Original Score, and Pride and Prejudice, and recorded Alexandre Desplat's soundtrack for the 2012 film Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. He had a cameo in Bruce Beresford's film on Alma Mahler, Bride of the Wind, and his playing is showcased throughout. His concert wardrobe is designed by Dame Vivienne Westwood. Now, information about the program. First, the symphony performs Roman Carnival Overture, Opus 9, by Hector Berlioz. Berlioz was born December 11, 1803, in La Côte Saint-André, and he died March 8, 1869, in Paris. This work was composed in 1843, the first performance February 3, 1844, at the Salières in Paris. Now here's the story. Hector Berlioz was a gifted and innovative orchestrator. He freed the brass from its role as mere accompaniment, making it the equal of the other orchestral sections. He experimented with new instruments such as the bass clarinet and the valve trumpet. And he virtually put the English horn on the map as the solo instrument par excellence for conveying musical melancholy. He was equally innovative in musical form and in stretching the limits of classical tonal harmony. But one of Berlioz's great fiascos was his opera Benvenuto Cellini. A brilliant musical score could not hide an impossible libretto with fatal dramatic flaws. The premiere at the Paris Opera in 1838 survived for just three performances and an attempt at a revival a few years later failed as well. Only its lively overture, using themes from the opera, has survived in the repertoire. Never one to waste good music, 6 years later, Berlioz took two of the most fetching musical segments of Act I of the opera and fashioned from them the Roman Carnival Overture, originally meant as the introduction to the opera's second act. In contrast to the opera, the premiere of the overture under the composer's baton was an instant success and had to be encored. Now here's some listening tips. This overture is an orchestral showpiece beloved by orchestra players, especially the brass. Berlioz took the gentle love duet between Benvenuti and Cellini and Teresa, here played by the English horn, and pitted it against the irresistible choral carnival scene with its saltarello dance rhythm. The dance becomes wilder and wilder as the overture progresses, only in the last few bars with brilliant and unpredictable brass did Berlioz digress significantly from the opera theme. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: two flutes, one doubling the piccolo, two oboes, one doubling the English horn, two clarinets, two bassoons, four horns, two trumpets, two cornets, three trombones, timpani, percussion, and strings. Next, the North Carolina Symphony comes onto the stage to perform the Piano Concerto in G Major by Maurice Ravel. Ravel was born March 7, 1875 in Cibourg, France, and he died December 28, 1937 in Paris. The work was composed in 1929 to 1931, the first performance January 14, 1932, by the Lamoureux Orchestra, conducted by the composer with Marguerite Long as the soloist. Now here's the story. In the annals of classical composers, Maurice Ravel was in a lucky minority. Born into a cultured middle-class family, he is one of the few composers, along with Mozart and Mendelssohn, whose parents encouraged his professional musical ambitions from the start. From the time Ravel turned seven, his father provided him with the best private musical instruction. At 12, he went on to the preparatory school for the Paris Conservatory, graduating into the regular course of study at 14. In a surprisingly single-minded manner, the youthful Ravel marched to his own drummer in terms of his musical language. He could not or would not conform to the rigorous and by then dated strictures of the Paris Conservatory. Repeatedly, composition prizes were awarded to other young composers who have now pretty much lapsed into oblivion. In 1929, Ravel began work on the Piano Concerto in G Major at the same time as the Piano Concerto for the Left Hand, commissioned by the Austrian pianist Paul Wittgenstein, who had lost his right arm in World War I. At the time of its conception, Ravel intended the G Major Concerto for his own use, but by the time he completed it in 1931, his health was not up to the physical rigors of practicing. French pianist Marguerite Long played the premiere with the composer conducting, and the two recorded the concerto soon after in January 1932, a performance now reissued on CD. Now here's some listening tips. For the first movement, because of the concerto's lighthearted mood, Ravel originally wanted to call it a divertissement. It opens with a crack of the whip, or slapstick, followed by a perky tune on the piccolo, which is taken over by a trumpet solo, all the time accompanied by gossamer arpeggios on the piano. In an exaggeration of the convention of a contrasting second theme, Ravel switches into a languid blues style, making use of a short jazz refrain for the clarinet, which he appends as a cadence figure throughout the movement. While the piano, with its jazzy syncopated rhythm, is clearly the dominant instrument, Ravel provides abundant solo opportunities for the orchestral instruments, especially the winds. In the second movement, according to Ravel, he modeled the graceful slow movement, the adagio, on the larghetto from Mozart's clarinet quintet. It opens with a long piano solo, an unending melody resolving only after many bars into the orchestral part. Ironically, the seemingly easy and natural spinning out of the melody, with its inherent tension born of delayed resolution, belies the difficulties the composer had with it. Ravel said he pieced it together bar by bar. The third movement, the dazzling presto finale, is a virtuoso piece for the soloist, the drumming of repeated notes suggestive of a Baroque toccata. But this is no Baroque imitation, punctuated as it is by jazz riffs for solo winds and blue notes. The instrumentation for this work is as follows for solo piano, flute, piccolo, oboe, English horn, clarinet, E-flat clarinet, two bassoons, two horns, trumpet, trombone, timpani, percussion, harp, and strings. Next, the symphony comes onto the stage to perform, along with guest pianist Thibaut Day, the I Got Rhythm Variations by George Gershwin. Gershwin was born September 26, 1898, in Brooklyn. He died July 11, 1937, in Los Angeles. The work was composed in 1933 and 1934, the first performance January 14, 1934, by the Boston Symphony Orchestra, Charles Previn conducting, with the composer as soloist. Now here's the story. George Gershwin was the first American composer to make jazz acceptable to the classical music audience in America. The son of poor Jewish immigrants in Lower Manhattan, he was a natural-born pianist and left school at 16 to play with a Tin Pan Alley firm, plugging their new songs. He soon commenced writing songs himself, eventually teaming up with his brother Ira as lyricist to become one of the most successful teams of song and musical comedy writers on Broadway. The brothers mounted a string of hit musicals from Lady Be Good in December 1924 to Let 'Em Eat Cake in October 1933. The opening night of a George Gershwin musical comedy was a social and media event, with Gershwin himself usually leading the orchestra. Composed in 1930, Girl Crazy served as the stage debut of Ethel Merman and contained one of Gershwin's most memorable songs, I Got Rhythm. The song was also one of Gershwin's favorites, and when drifting to the piano at parties, he inevitably played it. In 1933, while in one of his stretches of studying classical music composition, he wrote the variations on I Got Rhythm and orchestrated them, dedicating the work to Ira. Now here's some listening tips. Gershwin's oral program notes, recorded and broadcast over the air in the folksy radio style of the period, can't be surpassed. "Good evening. This is George Gershwin speaking," he would say. "Now I'm going to play you my latest composition that I wrote a few months ago down in Palm Beach, Florida. This is a composition in the form of variations on a tune, and the tune is I Got Rhythm. I think you might be interested to hear about a few variations we're going to play." After an introduction by the orchestra, the piano plays a theme rather simply. The first variation is a very complicated rhythmic pattern played by the piano while the orchestra fits in the tune. The next variation is in waltz time, and the third is a Chinese variation in which I imitate Chinese flutes that play out of tune, as they always are. And next, the piano plays a rhythmic variation in which the left hand plays the melody upside down while the right hand plays it first, on the theory that we shouldn't let one hand know what the other is doing. And then comes the finale. Now, after all this information about variations on I Got Rhythm, how about hearing it? And that was the introduction by George Gershwin himself. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: for solo piano, one flute doubling piccolo, one oboe doubling the English horn, three clarinets, bass clarinet, two alto saxophones, each doubling soprano saxophone, tenor saxophone doubling soprano saxophone, baritone saxophone, one bassoon, three horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, and strings. Following the intermission, the North Carolina Symphony returns to the stage to perform the Suite No. 2 from Bacchus and Ariadne, Opus 43, by Albert Roussel. Roussel was born April 5, 1869, in Turquin, France, and he died August 23, 1937, in Rouen, France. The work was composed in 1939, or rather 1931, the first performance of Suite No. 2, February 2, 1934, at the Salle Pleyel. Pierre Monteau was the conductor. Now here's the story. While many composers owed their careers to the early support and teaching of a close family member, Albert Roussel was orphaned by the age of 10 and continually shifted to the care of other family members. Born into a wealthy family of manufacturers of home decorating textiles, he showed early musical talent but always loved the sea, finally deciding on a naval career. He graduated in 1889 and served the Navy for 5 years, mostly in North Africa and Indochina. While on shipboard, he wrote his first composition, Fantasy, for violin and piano, and some short pieces reflecting an interest in Indian music that remained with him throughout his career. In 1894, he resigned his commission in order to pursue his interest in music, a career change enabled by his inherited wealth. A student of Vincent Dendy, he took over his teacher's counterpoint classes from 1902 to 1914, where he taught future composers as divergent as Erik Satie and Edgar Varèse. World War I interrupted the composition of two of his major works, the ballet Le Festin de la Reine, The Spider's Banquet, and the opera Padmanabhati, based on a Hindu legend. With the end of the war, he began to modernize his style, producing a variety of orchestral, operatic, ballet, and chamber works that brought him international recognition. The ballet Bacchus and Ariadne, composed in 1930, tells the story of Theseus landing on Naxos after rescuing Ariadne from the Minotaur of the Labyrinth. The god Bacchus appears and abducts the sleeping Ariadne, beginning a passionate dance around her sleeping body. When she awakens alone, she sees Theseus' departing ship and, in panic, flings herself into the sea, but lands in the arms of Bacchus instead. He kisses her, and the whole island around them is transformed. In the end, Bacchus leads her to the top of the mountain, crowning her with stars. Now here's some listening tips. Roussel extracted two orchestral suites from the ballet, each encompassing the music of one of the two acts. Suite No. 2 opens with a viola solo portraying Ariadne's awakening, followed by Bacchus's dance, the dramatic kiss, and pas de deux. It concludes with the expected bacchanal and Ariadne's coronation. The suite progresses without pause, so it is important to use your imagination to follow the trajectory of the story. Note, however, that the sections involving the god are always, well, Bacchic. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: two flutes, one doubling the piccolo, piccolo, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, bass clarinet, two bassoons, contrabassoon, four horns, four trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, celesta, two harps, and strings. And finally, the North Carolina Symphony performs An American in Paris, also by George Gershwin. Again, Gershwin was born in September 26, 1898. In Brooklyn, he died July 11, 1937 in Los Angeles. The work was composed in 1928, the first performance, December 13, 1928, by the New York Philharmonic at Carnegie Hall. Walter Domroche was the conductor. Now here's the story. Gershwin composed An American in Paris in 1928 on a commission from the Philharmonic Symphony Society of New York. It is a jazz-based tone poem inspired by the composer's trip to France, where he attempted to study with, among others, Maurice Ravel and Igor Stravinsky. Both declined, with Ravel saying, "Why be a second-rate Ravel when you are first-rate Gershwin?" An American in Paris has had a strong influence on a certain type of American music. Leonard Bernstein's musical On the Town is an expanded version, chronicling a day in the lives of two American sailors on leave in New York during World War II. Gershwin's hustle-bustle evocation of busy Parisian life has been used so often in film scores, TV, and advertising that it has become iconic city music. Now here's some listening tips. The work captures the sound and spirit of post-World War I Paris, where such American bohemians as F. Scott Fitzgerald and Ernest Hemingway, and their fictional characters, went to lose and rediscover themselves. According to the composer, the piece is really a rhapsodic ballet written very freely to portray the impressions of an American visitor as he strolls around the city. The individual listener can read into the music such episodes as his imagination pictures for him. For the program book at the premiere, with Gershwin's approval, composer Deems Taylor wrote a different scenario involving a detailed description of the tourist day adrift in the City of Light, proving that the music came first, the explanation later. One of the work's best-known effects is its taxi horn blows to add authenticity to the sound. Gershwin purchased Parisian taxi horns for the New York premiere. The instrumentation for this work is as follows: three flutes, one doubling the piccolo, two oboes, English horn, two clarinets, bass clarinet, alto saxophone, tenor saxophone, and baritone saxophone, two bassoons, four horns, three trumpets, three trombones, tuba, timpani, percussion, celesta, and strings. These program notes were written and copyrighted in 2020 by Joseph and Elizabeth Kahn. You have been listening to Program Notes for your North Carolina Symphony, an exclusive production of the North Carolina Reading Service. I'll be reading all of the program notes from the classical music series of the North Carolina Symphony for the remainder of the 2020 season. This program is available on demand as a podcast the day before each concert series and will be available for the remainder of the concert season. I'm George Douglas. Thanks so much for joining me today. We sincerely hope that listening to Symphony Notes will enhance your enjoyment of your North Carolina Symphony. Goodbye until next time.